Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome back to Monday night. We had a wonderful time Sunday morning and also Sunday night. It was just amazing and wonderful. The presence of the Lord is always here, and especially in our worship. It's all about worship and the Word. God is with us, and I believe He has something for us tonight. I know that in my spirit already. I felt that with the Holy Spirit, and I've taken the liberty of kind of changing things up a little bit. You know, sometimes I'll take a break and do something else, and I'm going to begin tonight. We're going to be talking about one of the miracles of Christ. You know, I love to talk about the miracles of Christ. And this particular one, the man by the pool of Bethesda, I think it's, you're going to hear some things that you might not have heard before. But I want to begin by sharing a personal story from just way, way, way back. You might think, how can you have a memory that far back? But I can. There were four of us children living in one home, and my parents bought us a swing set. Many years ago, it had a slide, it had a glider, and it had two swings, but there were four children. Two swings, four children. That is a problem. That is an issue. And so there was a day when we were in the yard, my dad was actually doing some yard work, and two of my siblings, which I will not call their names to protect my own self, two of my siblings were swinging and just having the time of their life, and suddenly it hit me. It's my turn. And I said, Dad, I want to turn. It's my turn. It's my turn. And he gave me shocking news. It's not your turn yet. And I said, wait, but I want to turn. And he said, you have to be patient. You'll get your turn. And I started to cry. I just could not stand to see them swinging wildly. Oh, this is so much fun. And I'm on the ground and I have no turn. No swing for me. And I kept saying, but I want to turn. And he said, I promise you'll get your turn. And he made good on that promise. It wasn't long till I got my turn. But here's the thing. In the spirit, sometimes we look at other people and we see them get their miracle. Or we see them, God, doing something in their lives. And we stand on the sidelines. And in our spirit, we're telling the Father, it's my turn. I want my turn, which is an immature way to think. You know, it's good that we want to turn, but it's also good that we can celebrate and watch someone else and appreciate that they're getting their turn. And I heard a little meme recently. I actually read it, and some of you have read it too. I'm sure you have, that said, until it's my turn, I know, Veronica, you probably read it, that I will clap for others. Until it's my turn, let me clap for others. Until we can celebrate other people, God, the Heavenly Father may withhold and keep our turn from coming a little bit because we have to learn life's lessons. So tonight we're going to talk about a man by the pool of Bethesda who after 38 years probably felt in his heart, when is it my turn? When am I going to get my turn? He was in a terrible position, a terrible situation. It's one of my favorite miracles in the Bible because it speaks to us believing for miracles for long periods of time. You know, everything isn't a supernatural instant miracle, is it? Sometimes we have to be patient. Sometimes we have to wait and even let God do a work in us while we're waiting to receive our miracle. So this particular man, the Bible does not give his name, was at the pool. He was an impotent man, and I want to discuss that word. That word means powerless. He had no power. In other words, he was too weak to help himself. He was too weak to even walk. He couldn't get a miracle. He was too weak. This particular miracle, I want to give you some facts because we're in a study, is only found in the gospel of John chapter 5. But John verifies this and gives us much information. and many of the details that are included. For many, many years, people doubted that there was such a place. In fact, some people would have called this a parable, but I can tell you that it is absolutely not a parable, because when Jesus told parables, he did not give facts and dates and times and names, because Jesus isn't going to lie. He's not going to make up a story about someone and give you their name and fact. He's going to say a certain person, a good by the side of the road. So we won't get into that tonight. But first of all, Bethesda means mercy. They were at the pool of mercy. And it's only because of God's mercy that we receive help from heaven. But this man was weak for 38 years. The pool of Bethesda was fed by a mineral spring. But what I want to tell you is, though theologians and scholars for years, for many, many years, they doubted that such a place exists. But do you know that about 50 years ago, archaeologists discovered, guess what? The five porches, yes, and the pool of Bethesda. And I think that that's so good. You know, Pastor Ken always tells you that science confirms, archaeologists confirms, the earth confirms it, that this was really true and real. And the story goes in John 1:4 that for an angel went down at a certain season, into the pool and troubled the water, stirred up the waters, got them stirred up. It was a mineral spring. And whoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease that they had. Now, there are some Bible versions that don't include this, some manuscripts, older manuscripts that do not include this part, this verse, but we are going to include it. And I'm going to read the entirety of John 5:1, beginning with 1 to verse 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, they're at Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate, an actual place, a pool, an actual place, which in the Hebrew tongue is called Bethesda or Mercy, had five porches. And in these lay, and I wanted you to grab hold of some words and phrases here, a great multitude. So I want you to picture a great multitude in your head right now at the pool. Picture hundreds and hundreds of people at the pool, of powerless folk, impotent folk. So there are hundreds of people that have no power. They're weak. There's hundreds of weak people. Some of them were blind, halt, withered, and they were waiting for the troubling of the water. And there they sat and wait, hundreds, maybe thousands of them. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, troubled the water. Whosoever was first at what? Okay. Let's stop right there. What do you mean whosoever was first? We have a multitude of people here. What do you mean first? What about the rest? I don't care about the first. Think about this. Remember I told you I used to love as a child watching the Miss America pageant, and me and my sisters used to sit there, oh, who's going to be chosen? Who's going to be chosen? And after a few years, as I began to grow and mature, I no longer liked that contest. I no longer felt comfortable with that contest, because it's wonderful for the one, but there were 49 other girls that did not get chosen. What do we tell them? You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not talented enough. You don't look good enough in a swimsuit. You're defective. You're broken. And here they are. And only one gets chosen. This is the situation we're in. And so whoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. Good for them. Let's all clap for the one. But what about the rest? And a certain man was there, which had, and you can always put your own name where it says a certain man, because what that means in the Bible is it could be anyone. A certain man, which we can relate to, was there, which had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, in that situation, in that circumstance, he said to him, "Do you want to be made whole?" And the powerless, impotent man answered him, "But sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool." He wanted to get in the pool. I want to get in the pool. "But while I am coming, another steps down ahead of me." Have you ever felt like somebody stood in the way of your miracle? Have you ever felt like somebody got ahead of you? Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. We have so much rich information here, you just have no clue. And one of the things that we want to begin with is to put ourselves in the place of this man. No doubt he thought, when is it my turn? No doubt he thought, well, yeah, other people get their healing, but not me. And sitting by that pool, you know, I'm not sure that if I was that man, I wouldn't have just said, take me home, get me out of here. I can't watch other people get their miracle. I just can't watch them swing. I just can't. It's killing me inside because I need what they're getting. And you got to put yourself in his place. He had to feel hopeless. He had to feel like, why is it everybody else gets healed? Don't I deserve healing? Why am I not good enough? And this man is sitting there, and what he could never have known was this, and never believed hardly if you had told him, today's your day. Today's your day. Well, is someone going to help me in the pool? No, they're not. Well, then today's not my day. No, sir, today is your day. What if someone told him that? But that's exactly what happened. So I remember sharing in a study that God shows up just in time. He's not delayed. They thought he was late when he came to Lazarus, but he wasn't late. He was exactly on time. Perfect timing. And one more thing this miracle tells me is, if I can't get to Jesus, I'm too weak to get to Jesus, Jesus is willing to get to me. He can reach me. The blood reaches to the lowest valley. He can reach me. So he's watching these people, and they're receiving their miracles one by one, and it's not his turn. But I want to tell you, no one is beyond the reach of Jesus. He's near the brokenhearted. He's an emotional Jesus. He's a compassionate Jesus. And here's the thing, this man was impotent, and I told you the word means no power. Tell me this, what happens when impotent means omnipotent? What happens when no power meets all power? What happens? Who do you think wins? The omnipotent one. Jesus is Christ, the omnipotent. And impotent means weak and infirmed, and omnipotent means all power, all authority. But I know that if you're like me, you felt this way before. Some of you may need a miracle tonight. It's something big or something you need, and you've waited a very long time. And it can get discouraging because the devil comes and tempts you to be discouraged. And he says, yeah, you've seen a lot of miracles, but you haven't received yours just yet. But I want to tell you that he's made a promise, like my father made a promise, you will get your turn. God has promised in his word that you will receive that miracle according to his riches and glory. So he's by the pool, and I love that they discovered the pool, first of all. And there's so many people at the pool, and they all have different needs. I did notice that everyone had a different need. There was no need, probably not all were the same at all, and not all, most of them had been there at different, maybe one was there for 3 years, 12 years, 18 years, 38 years, but all needed some kind of a miracle. And here's the thing, the lame can't help the lame, can they? They can't. The blind can't help the blind. The deaf can't help the deaf. That's where we need Jesus. So they're at the pool, and they're pretty helpless. And this, he had laid there all these years. He had a disability so long. And I want to address several things in here. First, that Jesus came to him, and that Jesus came to him. Jesus, first of all, he saw him. You know, maybe people don't notice us. They don't notice our sickness. They don't notice that we're hurting or in pain, but Jesus saw him. Number two, Jesus knew that he had been there a long time. Can I say to you tonight that Jesus knows? You know, maybe nobody else knows. Maybe you're not going to tell nobody else, but Jesus absolutely knows. Jesus knows what's going on in your life. But something that hit me, that really hit my heart, was when the impotent man answered Jesus, he said, sir. He didn't even know who he was. He called him sir. He didn't know. Call him Jesus. He's Jesus. No, he didn't know. So he said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another stepped down before me. This broke my heart. You know why? He was trying so hard to get in the pool, and he couldn't walk. He's lame. Can you imagine him trying to get in the pool? Nobody's helping him. Nobody's trying to help him because they have to try to help themselves in the pool. And here he is. I pictured him laying by the pool on the mat and trying to crawl to get in the pool. And just as he's about to get there, he's so close because the pool's right there. You're all laying by the pool, right? You're no doubt you're as close as you could get already. And so he's laying there and he's trying to get in the pool, and someone always is ahead of him. Someone else always gets their miracle. It's hard to clap for that person. It's hard to celebrate somebody else's when you're hurting, to celebrate their victory. So he's experienced the disappointment of life, the discouragement that comes from that, the fact that nobody was willing to help him. And in a way, when he was talking, he was being honest, saying there was no man, but he was also blaming others too, you know, a little bit. There's nobody here that's willing to help me, but not being able to understand that they can't help. They can't help you. They can't help themselves. But Jesus is willing to help. Jesus is, and here's the thing. Jesus comes for the one. Jesus comes for the one, and can I tell you which one he comes for? You're the one. You're the one. You're the one he sees. You're the one he knows about. There's an old song that says there's room at the cross. Though millions have come, there's still room for the one. You're the one. And Jesus said, will you be made whole? Do you want to be made well? Not just do you want to get in the pool, not just do you want to be made whole? You know, there is a difference between whole and being well. Now, there's something else I want to talk about in here. And it's very interesting. Jesus did not tell him, go ahead and stand to your feet. He didn't say stand up. He used a very specific word. He said arise. Now, the word arise, does not mean stand up. Stand up is a physical act. To arise is a spiritual act. It means to be resurrected. The Greek is to be resurrected, to be awakened, to come to life. He told him, you're going to be resurrected. You're about to start your life all over again. You're not just going to stand up. You're going to rise up. When a king would rise up, every time it said, and the king arose, he didn't get out of his seat for no reason. They'd never do you read, and the king stood up. If the king arose, he was about to do something. And this was a power word. Be resurrected. Be awakened. You're getting a second chance, another opportunity. Not just stand up. It's a strong word with emphasis on purpose, because God gives us our miracle. When he does a miracle for you, it's for a purpose. To rise up. You know, we have been talking the past few weeks on hearing from God. And last week I shared with you a testimony that I had been asking God, because we have to position ourselves to hear from God. We have to get ourselves quiet. We have to get ourselves in a position. We have to be listening for God. And drop the noise of the world. Next week I'm going to be talking about, not only do we sometimes let the noise of the world drown out the voice of God, the still small voice, we also, watch this, people will say, well, I don't hear from God. But the truth is, what you're really, I don't think that's an honest question. I think what you mean when you say, do people hear from God, is I'm not hearing from God. But I want to tell you, if you're not hearing from God, you're probably listening to other things. And one of them is the voice of the enemy. And if the enemy can speak to you his lies, come on, let's use our heads here. Then Jesus is speaking. God is speaking. But there is so much here. This man was so close, but he was so far away. But I was talking about that miracle where I was asking Jesus to speak to me, and he spoke to me. You remember it. I said that I was talking about desperation, holding onto the fringe of his garment, the hem of his garment, and he said, you can hold my nail-scarred hands. You can be at my feet and hold my nail-scarred hands. And this week when I was studying, and again, it was on Sunday night, and I was over there as we were praying, because we had a prayer night here, and I was asking the Lord again for the same miracle and talking to God again about it, and I felt like I had a further word, and that word kind of has to do with this message. And what God was speaking to me last night is, because I'm believing for a person, is to start doing what Jesus did and start calling, come forth out of that situation, come forth, arise, get up, start your life again, you can start again, be resurrected, come back to life. So God is speaking to our hearts, and through these teachings and miracles, we need to know that our turn is coming, our day is coming. But this man was so close, but he might as well have been a million miles away, right? If you can't, he might as well been a million miles away, because for 38 years, he did not receive his miracle. But, oh, Jesus is always right on time. And he didn't even, this man did not even know who Jesus was, but here's the point. He didn't know Jesus, but Jesus knew him. He didn't recognize Jesus. He wouldn't have recognized him in a crowd, but Jesus recognized him. He did not know, but Jesus knew. And he saw him. And when it says Jesus saw someone, by the way, in the Bible, it does not mean, again, a physical act that he just laid eyes on them. It means he set his gaze on them. In other words, they were so important that he was fixed on them. And that means and think about this. He could have chose anyone, but he came to this man who was desperate for so long. So very long. And I love, oh my goodness, there's so much here. But Jesus healed him, and that's mercy. But he gives him a warning. He's going to warn this man. You can't take the things that God does in your life too lightly, whether that's salvation or healing or deliverance. He warns him, no more sin. No more sin. People destroy their lives by going back into sin after God has done such great things for them. Well, this man was excited. This man was obedient. He was excited. He got up. He went and told the Jews that he was healed. They sought to kill Jesus. How come people aren't celebrating your miracle? How come they're not saying, this is great news that you just got healed? Everybody's not going to celebrate your new ministry. Everybody's not going to celebrate that you got your healing or you got the new job. They're not going to celebrate. I never will forget the year, you guys probably remember, when I bought the cool Mustang, the baby blue Mustang, and it was just such a hot car, and it literally just ate gas. I mean, I drive around the block, and it was $68 worth of gas. Talk about get rid of that car. I dumped that car so fast. But I remember when I got that car, my brother came to me and he said to me these words. He said, congratulations on the new car. I'm so happy you got this car. He said, this is a dream car. He said, everybody's not going to like it. Everybody ain't going to be happy for you, sister. And I remember when my friend Rose, her husband, you know, her husband is a luxury home builder. And they were building her a home, and it is, I can't even tell you how many millions. It's just amazing. And they were breaking the ground, and I was out there, and she took me on a tour through the house, which takes a while, and just amazing. And when I was in the house, I told her the same thing. Rose, everybody's not happy for you. They're not. Oh, no, man. No, they're not. But I am. But I am. I celebrate this day with you. I know what you're going to do with this house. You're going to have people in here that will be healed and restored. And, you know, but Jesus did a great miracle for this man. But sometimes also we need to address the fact that maybe the miracle we're asking for is not the miracle that we really need. This man was hoping for a different miracle. Did you realize that? Did you catch that in the story? I just don't have somebody to put me in the pool. He was looking to get in the pool. You know, that pool water probably wasn't so clean. I'm not sure they have chlorine tablets like my pool does. It's pretty clean. I think it was probably the water of the world. But Jesus comes with living water. Remember when I said about the man, the blind man who Jesus said to him, when Jesus, first of all, Jesus knelt on the ground and he made with his spit, he made a paste of mud, you know, like a paste, and put on the guy's blinded eyes. First of all, to me, I'm like, well, you're going to put mud on my eyes. Wow. I couldn't see. Now I really can't see. I have mud on my eyes. And it seems nasty. They say that human spit has more bacteria in it than animal spit. So I went before the Lord and I said, I need you to talk to me about this miracle here. This is something very confusing to me, and I don't believe your word should be confusing. I believe that you will answer and speak. And so I asked the Lord, I said, what about that spit thing? In an instant, the Holy Spirit answered and said, spit in your mouth is filthy. In the mouth of Jesus, it's living water. It's living water. It's living water. It's healing. Everything about Jesus is healing. Is healing. We don't have to understand it. But he wasn't going to put this man in the water. He was going to do a completely different miracle. I don't need your pool. I don't need an angel. I don't need somebody to stir up the water. I don't need boiling water. I'm Jesus. I'm the whole deal. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And another thing, by that pool, people would give money. And Jesus asked him the question, will you be healed? That's a very legitimate question, by the way. Everyone doesn't, whether they think they do or not, doesn't really want their healing or their wholeness. I have known people that wanted to get government money or subsidies, that they're happy with their life as it is. I've had that. I knew a girl that she wanted to get, she wasn't really even seeking healing. And some people like the attention. Some people like attention that comes. So Jesus is asking him, and some people want the money. They want the money. I can collect money for this. You know, beggars on, you know, what do you really want? Would you be made whole? And I'm so thankful that Jesus was willing to heal him. And you know what? This is something that the word doesn't address, but I'm going to address it. There was a multitude there that day, a multitude of people, and yet God loves the one. You know, all of them could be healed. Today, we have healing because of the cross. I can't imagine how this man felt at all, having been there all that time, but I know that Jesus comes and he says to us, he says, rise, take up your bed and walk. Be resurrected. That situation in your life, maybe you have a child that needs to be resurrected back to life. Maybe you have a marriage that needs to be resurrected back to life. Maybe your finances need to be resurrected back to life. And you're waiting on your miracle. And you've been waiting. Stay faithful to God. Stay obedient to God. That man had to pick up his bed and walk. Did you notice that Jesus never said, let's find someone to carry your bed. Let's find someone, they're going to carry your bed. When he carried that mat around, you know what that mat was? It served as a testimony. Think about this. If I'm walking into this building with crutches and I'm limping, but I'm walking out a building holding these crutches up above my head. Look here what I got. What I got is a testimony. And I'm so thankful that there's so many things in here, and I don't have time to go through it all, but I do want to close in prayer and have our praise team come so that we can spend a time in worship. But I'm so glad that Jesus gives us these miracles that we can learn from because it's so applicable to our own lives that in God's timing, trust Him, have faith in Him, never give up, always believe the promises of God, always, no matter how long it's been. He is faithful. He shows up right in time. I absolutely love, love, love that Brooklyn Tabernacle song that I mentioned yesterday where it says, "Didn't I show up and pay the bills right in time?" And I can't tell you how, let's take this church as a whole. I can't tell you how many times when it seems like that the bills here are not going to get paid. And literally, I can open my email, and there it is. The bill is paid because that's God. That's His faithfulness. And you know, sometimes I think He lets us go through those things so that our faith can be built up, you know, that we need to learn to trust God. We need to be challenged in areas like this. And when we receive a miracle, we need to be so quick to share it with other people and tell them. One of the things that I believe in strongly, and this is just me, and I've shared this in our healing classes, if you've been healed of something, if God's done something in your life, say that God has restored your marriage, then it becomes your responsibility to pray for others because the healing of your marriage is in you, and you have the compassion to pray for that. If you've been healed of cancer, then you're the one to lay hands on someone else and pray for them. First of all, you have the compassion for it. And I believe there's a, you know, whereas once you had cancer in your body, now you have the healing of cancer in your body. It's a special anointing. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that people can receive in that way. That God, here's the thing. I ask God to work. To work through me. Lord, do a work in me and let it flow through me. And that's what we each of us have to ask. God, let it flow through me. Let it flow through me, Lord. Let's just stand tonight. Father God, we thank You. Father God, we thank You that You say we get our turn, Father God. You haven't passed us by. You don't walk on by. Father God, You see us in our condition. You knew about it. Father God, you knew about it. You know how long it's been. You know exactly what it is. And You really, really care. Father, because of the cross, we can have all of our needs met are in Christ Jesus for healing, for deliverance, for restoration, whatever it is. Father, I thank You. I thank You for what I see that You did for this man. Father God, resurrect us back to life.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.